Welcome back to the Seven Figure Flipping Podcast. You don't know me. My name is Adam Whitney. I am the owner and CEO, partnered with Bill Allen at Blackjack Real Estate. And I'm also a member of the board of directors for Seven Figure Flipping. And I have an awesome, awesome episode, a really important topic that nobody else is talking about that we've got to dive into deeply today. Today, we're going to talk about the rising insurance rates in places like Florida and Louisiana and all the effects it's having on the market, especially for investors.
My name is Bill Allen, and I'm the leader of a group of elite house flippers and wholesalers called Seven Figure Flipping. We don't brag or show off our success, but instead let integrity and stewardship be our guide. We are dedicated to helping people unlock the freedom they desperately need. If you ask other real estate investors, they will say to keep your secrets quiet. But we believe in abundance, not scarcity. And that's why we are the elite. We are Seven Figure Flipping, and this podcast is our playbook.
Okay, here's one thing most people don't know is every time an insurance company sends a non-renewal to somebody because they think it's too much risk, the house value on average is going to decline 12%. You can imagine that if this is happening all over states like Florida, California due to wildfires, states like Louisiana with flooding, then those home values, which have been going up over the years, are now starting to decline. It's absolutely insane. So Florida is pretty obvious for many folks who've been down there. A lot of wetlands. It's at sea level. They have hurricanes come through there. And lots of flooding has happened in places like Fort Myers and the last hurricane in Cape Coral. And what we see in Florida is the hurricane comes through, wrecks a bunch of stuff. The problem with insurance is they're betting on the fact that they don't have to pay out any money, and you're going to pay them over your lifetime just in case something does happen. Well, in places like Florida, Louisiana, and California, they are actually having to pay out people, and it's becoming too much risk. So what happens? The insurers, the big companies, leave the state, deem it too risky, and then you only have a few insurers left in that state. Those few insurers aren't competing anymore, so their prices are going up, and they can charge whatever they need to charge to reduce what they believe is their risk. They're just saying it's too risky. It's absolutely insane. We wholesale houses in Florida. We flip houses in Florida. And I have personally seen some of our buy and hold investors get re-quoted on their insurance rates that went from $800 a year to $5,000. You're talking 100 plus percent, 200%, 300% increase in what they were paying for it. Now, why is that a problem? Well, that's if you're buying a house as a buy and hold investment, typically you're buying it because it's a cash flow asset. That means after your principal, interest, taxes, insurance, after your repairs and maintenance, after your capital expenditures, like things like roof, because you're putting away for when that does have to be replaced, or a big system like an HVAC, something like that, you're getting enough rent that you're making a little bit of money on the spread. Typically, we see $100 to $300 is pretty normal for a decent rental of actual net cash flow after all expenses. If your insurance goes up to $6,000 in the year from, say, $800, that is an exponential, you're talking a 600-700% increase. That will squeeze people's cash flow and actually make it be cash flow negative. So now you may be holding on to an asset, and while it's appreciating, you're getting debt pay down on it if you've leveraged it, and your plan was to hold it for the long term, you may actually be coming out of pocket every month for that. So something as small as as insurance going up 600-700% can make an entire part of the investor market stop buying that type of property. And I know for us in Florida, we had dozens, if not hundreds, of buy and hold investors, especially in the panhandle. Now, this doesn't mean all the buy and hold investors are gone, but the ones who are executing the strategy, like the BRRRR, the buy, rehab, rent, refinance, and repeat model, those guys are not getting good interest rates, the insurance is higher, and they can't make things pencil for cash flow. And it's not just Florida, it's California too. Since 2009, the cost of wildfires have increased by 270% in terms of the structures that were destroyed. And here's an interesting statistic for you. For every additional building destroyed, there's an 1.9 additional non-renewal notices issued. That means two more houses basically are getting a non-renewal, which means the values are going to go down. It's absolutely insane. And these companies who are betting on not having to pay you out are just simply saying, natural catastrophes, inflation is hurting them, risky investments because the margins are squeezed, and the regulatory environment. They see that as just simply too much risk. So what do we see? Let's look at a few states. I'll give you some examples on the increase in premiums statewide for insurance. The state of Maine increased 183%. West Virginia, 171%. Hawaii, which is out in the middle of the ocean, increased to 154%. So you see the trend here. Florida, surprisingly, which I guess is low, is 131%. States like Alabama, they're close to the water as well, have increased over 100%. And states like Oregon on the West Coast. So the premiums are just exponentially higher than they were. And that's statewide. The closer you are to the ocean or where these natural disasters are going, they're going to adjust for that. As I told you, we had an investor that went from like $800 annually to $6,000 annually. Astronomical increase. It basically makes that investment unintentable. Like, you just can't do it. So here's the problem, right? Most homeowners, like maybe about 50 to 60% of them, have mortgages on their house. And if you want to buy a house and put debt on it, a mortgage on it, you have to have insurance. If insurers won't insure you, that means you can't buy a house in that area and use a typical Fannie or Freddie loan or a VA loan or anything like that. If it can't be insured, you can't use the leverage on it because it is a prerequisite to do it. So it's important to know that. There is a lot of legislation out there. In California, they have a proposition called Proposition 103 right now that is trying to control the price of insurers. So this is where the regulatory system, where the insurance commissioner must approve a rate applied by an insurer before its use, known as the prior approval system. So basically just trying to get the insurance companies to not go astronomical on their rates. Sounds good in practice. I would just tell you, since we are in a capitalistic country, insurance companies will just not insure in California. Some, of course, will. But many won't do it. That is a big problem. So, like, what are the alternatives that are options for people? Well, depending on where you live, you can go to the residual markets or what they call excess markets, where they have much higher cost of insurance because these markets aren't as regulated. So if you're in a pinch and you absolutely have to have insurance and you really want to buy that house, you can get them on the residual market. So it's not like there's nobody who's willing to do it. They're just going to make you pay for what their perceived risk is. And some states actually have government-assisted options. DC is one of them. California has the FAIR plan, which on average costs about $3,200. And Florida has a large state insurance company in it that if you can't get an insurer to meet a certain threshold, their state insurance will insure you. There's continuing litigation going on. There's continuing government meetings about this. I know I track it very closely in Florida, so I know that they're working to bring some of the big insurance agencies back into the state, which is not ideal for them given the hurricanes that have happened and how much money they paid out after Fort Myers was basically destroyed in the last hurricane and all of those insurance claims happened. So if you're a real estate investor and you're in these markets, we need to think about how this might affect you and how you're buying properties, how you're marketing to properties, what areas are no-go for insurance. These are things you need to know. So you can start by just Googling your flood zone maps as an example. If you're in Florida or one of the wet states in the Southeast, you can also look up the wildfire maps and some of that information if you're in the state of California or somewhere on the West Coast. Now, I'm not telling you you need to avoid these areas all the way around the all the way around these areas. All I'm saying is you need to account for this. So if I'm marketing to that area because people, investors still are buying there, if I want to wholesale deals, or I still want to flip there because I can get great returns, I need to calculate that in my buy price. So if I know insurance is going to be a problem and I'm going to have to pay a premium on it, that means I just have to buy the house at a better rate. Doesn't mean that I can't buy the house. It just means I have to buy at a much better price in a lot of these areas. And I also have to look at what's happening on the retail market. I have to understand, you know, whether it's a multi-million dollar beach houses or it's first time home buyer market area, who is the avatar that would be buying these properties? Is that going to be somebody with a lot of money who's buying cash beach houses? Then maybe insurance isn't such a problem. But if that's like the home buyer market and you're in the medium price point range, but they're in a flood zone that's not favorable and the insurance is really hard to get there, you definitely want to adjust to that. The other thing I would tell you to do is even if you do buy it at a great price, you need to underwrite the days on market into that. I would be looking at how many days on market are the properties in this particular area where I know the flood zones are, where I know the insurers are having are not likely to insure or not wanting to insure unless it's at a premium. And I would be watching all the properties selling over the last 30, 60, and 90 days. And I would be talking to some of those agents, calling them, asking them what kind of buyer bought it, what kind of loan did they use, were there any issues with the insurance, to make sure you have a really, really good understanding. The other thing you can do is develop a relationship with insurance brokers, right? You may have really good resources or relationships if you're taking your flip to market and people are, they want to put an offer on it, they love the work you did, but you already know because you've done the research that insurance is a problem, but you've worked with your insurance broker. You know what the pricing is going to be. You're communicating that up front with your buyers. You're telling them it's who you recommend. It can make for a much smoother process. Let's not let insurance kill our deals. I'm a firm believer that you can buy real estate in any market. You can buy real estate regardless of circumstances, if you account for those circumstances. In this case, we're talking about insurance and the price of insurance. You price that into your buy, still buy the property, flip it, understand the market, know what the days on market's going to be, and have the insurance broker you've already pre-coordinated with, even prior to you purchasing it, understanding that some of these end buyers are going to need a recommendation. Otherwise, it may or may not be a smooth process. The other thing I would do is look at the things you're doing inside of your rehabs. So in Florida specifically, we know that they're looking for certain wind mitigation inspections. They are looking for new roofs, right? Because when this bad weather comes through, these roofs are easily damaged. And even in Florida, a lot of times, if you buy a house to flip and say the house, the roof is only 15 years old. I mean, on average, a roof life is going to be 25 to 50 years. But in Florida, if it's 15 years or older, a lot of times the insurance companies want you to replace that roof. They will not insure it. So understanding what construction work needs to be done to the property. Do I need to have hurricane rated windows? Do I need to put on some type of hurricane shields as a part of my rehab? Those are things you can all price in on the front end. Doesn't mean you can't do the deal. You just have to talk to the insurance broker, know what they're insuring, know what is going to help them insure that property and help the end buyer get good rates and be attractive to the end buyer. So your property sells for the best price and the fastest possible, which is ultimately the goal. So just to wrap this up, this is a short one today, but I really think that this is underappreciated. It's not being talked about enough. We see this a lot in Florida. I talk to a lot of California investors that are in our seven-figure flipping runway and altitude group, and they have similar issues with the wildfires in California. So just know that the insurance companies, they don't love doing business in these markets. And really, they just, I mean, they do like doing business, but they can't afford to if something bad happens, right? So as we're looking at hurricanes and wildfires, it's just too much risk for them. They're going to have to pay out, which their ultimate goal is not to actually pay people out on the insurance. If you've ever had to do an insurance claim, you know how challenging it can be to actually get paid out on those insurance claims. You need to make sure you have a really, really good understanding of the risk of whatever natural disasters are prevalent in your area. So if it's wildfires, great. If it's hurricanes, great. If it's tornadoes, great. Just understand it. So I'll give you a quick anecdote about some of our areas. If you look at hurricane damage along the Gulf Coast of Florida, I personally have a residence inland near Tampa, north of Tampa, a little bit inland. It's pretty safe. The greater Tampa area actually has not been hit by a hurricane in like 100 years. So it's been a long time. I'm not saying it can't happen, but I'm saying it hasn't happened. And that may be a predictor of the future. Maybe they do end up getting hit, but it's not as common as some other areas where they're repeatedly getting hit. So just kind of understanding the history of the area, understanding where the flood zones are, where the most problematic areas are. Not saying you can't do deals there, but you definitely need to understand it. So to move forward on this, if you're just like, I really love this area. I love flipping here. I want to flip in Clearwater, Florida, or in Miami, or I want to flip in San Diego, but they have risk of wildfires. That is okay. You can still do that. Knowledge of what the potential disaster could possibly be in that area, and then talk to an insurance broker. That is the absolute key to still being able to do deals in the area that you want to do deals in. And those areas are typically highly sought after. Those are great weather areas when you're talking about Florida or California or even Oregon and the Pacific Northwest. Oftentimes, really big margins there. So you just need to buy down your risk by buying the properties at a great price and factoring in those different costs. Man, that was a quick one today. I'm super pumped. Thanks for coming on here today. Thanks for taking 20 minutes with me to get into a subject that I think everybody needs to start paying attention to. Now, it's not just the coastal states. If you're in middle America, the flyover states, you guys have tornadoes too. And hail storms. Those are all things to consider as well. So thanks for listening today. I appreciate everybody's time, and we'll see you on the next one.